Tonight, I want to encourage you to be the worst sinner in the world. God wants you to be the worst sinner in the world. You say, what? God doesn't want me to be the worst sinner in the world. Sure He does. He wants you to be so bad at sinning that you can't even do it. That's how bad of a sinner He wants you to be. So bad. You've heard of people who are bad liars? Doesn't mean that they're good at lying. It means they're bad at lying. But God wants us to be the worst sinners we can be. He wants us to be so lousy at sin that any time that that does occur in our lives, we're miserable about it, that we'll do anything we can to get it right and to get that back out of our lives. Well, how are we going to do that? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but we just want to think about how is it that we get good at something or that we are not good at something? Well, we know that in order to get good at something, we've got to practice. So if we're going to be bad at something, then we need never practice it. God wants us to never practice sin. If we don't practice it, we won't ever get good at it. If, on the other hand, we do practice it, we'll get to where it's second nature to us. We'll get used to it. And so, that's our first step. We want to be the worst sinners in the world. The way that we start that is, well, we just don't practice sin. But there's more to it than that. Because, you know, there are some things, they say things like, well, it's like riding a bike, you never forget. So, if we're going to be the worst sinners in the world, sometimes we have to actively work at forgetting how to commit those sins. Is there anything that maybe 10 or 20, 30, 50 years ago, depending on how old you are, that you used to be able to do and did quite a lot and were good at, but now because you haven't done it in so long, you've forgotten how? And if you had to try to go back to do it, you said, well, I don't know how to do that anymore. I used to, but I don't know how to do it anymore. Well, can you imagine if somebody came up to you and said, hey, you know what? Let's get together and let's work out this lie together. And he said, well, you know, it's been so long since I've done it. I don't know how to do that. Now, we don't have to worry about that because all of us have lied recently enough that we know how to do it. But what if we could say that? I've forgotten how to lie. And what if we were so bad at lying that as soon as we told a lie, everybody around us would know it? That was the worst. That was so obvious. And then we wouldn't have any need to continue trying to do that because we couldn't fool anybody with it. But instead, we go the other way and we actually practice our sins. We're well versed in them and we know how to do them. Again, if we start young with children and just don't expose them to sin. So they don't even know how, never learn how to do some of those things. Because remember, sin is not an inherited thing that we know how to do when we're born. We have to learn how to do it. Well, where do children learn? Well, sometimes they learn from other children, but far more often children learn how to sin from their own parents. We need to start young with not giving them any examples to follow. And then another thing that we want to do if we're going to be the worst sinners in the world is we're going to have to quit watching other people sin. You know, if you watch how somebody else does something, you get to start understanding how to do it yourself. And you begin to justify and make excuses and think it's okay to do those things. So we need to quit. We need to instead, if we're watching people who are doing good and doing right, then we won't have that influence of sin. Some people might say that our children are too sheltered. Maybe so. Maybe so. But I still think they see far more sin than I want them to. But they sometimes will say something like, My teacher said a bad word. What did your teacher say? Well, they said, my teacher said the S word. Really? Yeah, they said shut up. They think that's the S word. they don't even know the other one. They don't know the others. They'll learn them. I'm sure they'll come in contact with them eventually. But right now, they don't know that other one. We need to stay away from those influences. You know, if we're not around other people that are doing it, other people that are encouraging us to do it, we're going to just get worse and worse at it. Now, you take somebody in any sport or any game or any profession even, and you take somebody who was the best at what they did, and you let them sit out for a few years, and then try to bring them back and see how they do at it. See, that's what we need to do with our sin. We need to sit out for a few years. Get away from it. Allow our lives to get filled up with righteousness. Instead of dirty jokes and lies, what if we filled our minds with songs of praise and scriptures and truths? Well, it wouldn't be long before we'd be pretty lousy at sinning. In fact, if we want to be really, really bad at sinning, then what we really need to do is we need to go to the opposite extreme and just get good at doing righteousness. You know, that's one of the things athletes who they practice, they train, they're in shape, they're ready to go. And then sometimes they go to the opposite extreme. And they sit on the couch and they eat potato chips and junk food and watch TV. And before long, they couldn't run the 100 meter sprint if their life depended on it. And they've gained weight and they've lost muscle and they can't do anything. Because they've done the opposite. Well, when it comes to sin, we need to do the opposite. One man told of time he was sitting in worship, and he already had his money ready to give. He had it there in his suit coat pocket, ready to pull it out when the plate came by. And he said the temptation came on him. You know, if you just only give half of that, with that other half, you know, you could do this or you could do that with it. You said, I know that's a temptation. I know that's that the devil's tempting me. And you know what he did? He gave twice as much. He did the opposite. Did the opposite of what the temptation was. When we recognize a temptation, go do the opposite. Go do something else instead. Don't let him rule your life and you'll be one of the worst sinners in the world. We need instead to be looking for ways to do things that are right. Another thing that we can do is we can busy ourselves so much with good things that we just don't have time to commit sin. I mean, isn't that what a lot of people do with righteousness? I'm just so busy doing it. I just don't have time for that. Well, we need to be so busy doing good things that we just don't have time to commit sin. And somebody says, hey, let's Friday night, let's go down to the club. I'm sorry, I'm too busy studying my Bible Friday night. Or I'm going to the church fellowship Friday night. Or I don't have time to go do that with you. If we're just too busy doing good things, we'll become such horrible sinners that pretty soon our sinful friends will quit inviting us to go sin with them. The other thing we need to do is we need to exercise our conscience. That's exercise like bodily exercise, not exercise like exercising a demon. We need to exercise our conscience. Some people do exorcise their conscience. They kick it out so there's no room for it anymore. But we need to exercise our conscience so that when we do commit sin, it makes us miserable. And we are no fun to be around when we're committing sin. And pretty soon, those people who want to find pleasure in unrighteousness won't want to be around us when they're doing unrighteous things, because they'll know we're a killjoy. We don't enjoy that. We're miserable to be around when we're involved in that. But if we exercise our conscience, we'll be worthless as sinners. Because every time we commit a sin, our conscience will drive us crazy until we take care of the problem and get it out of our lives. So if we can quit practicing it long enough that we forget how to do it, and if we'll just avoid being around it and seeing other people involved in it, and if we'll exercise that conscience, we've got a shot. You know who the worst sinner in the world was? Well, of course it was Jesus. He was so bad, he never committed one. He just never even committed a single sin. Now we may not, obviously we've already missed that boat because we've already sinned. But we can work to try to do the best to catch up. Maybe we won't ever be the best at avoiding it, and we won't be the worst sinner in the world, but we can aim for second. It is interesting the way we use the English language. Because I know when we say, well, the worst sinner, we think the one who did the most sins. But that's a play on words. But what should we do? If we want to get that sin out of our lives, then we're going to have to replace it. We're going to have to work at it. But I want us to think about what we usually do. Imagine this for a minute. Imagine if I told you Wednesday night, I came and I said, Saturday, there's a marathon, and I'm going to run in the marathon. The first thing you do is look at me and say, you? Oh, yeah, I'm going to run in the marathon. I'm going to run that marathon Saturday. And he said, oh, really? I haven't been training at all. Well, what's your plan then? Oh, it's simple. I'm going to get out there and I'm just going to try real hard. I'm going to get out there and when the race starts, I'll just try real hard. So Sunday, when I limped into church, you're going to say, well, how did that go? Doesn't look like it went too well. Well, you know, I got half a mile into that marathon before I collapsed and they had to carry me off on a stretcher. I said, really, half a mile? Yeah, half a mile. So, there's going to be another marathon next Saturday. I'm going to run in that one. But you only ran a half a mile. Yeah, but I'm going to run again. Really? Well, what you going to do this time? I said, well, you know, I've got a great plan this time. What's your plan? I'm going to try harder. How well do you think that's going to work the next Saturday? If I haven't done any training, haven't done any exercise, haven't done any running, but I'm going to try harder than I did last weekend. Well, if I really put my mind to it and really do try harder, I may make it 3/4 of a mile. Maybe. If it's downhill. Not much of a plan, is it? Now let's think about what we do in our spiritual lives. We become Christians and we go out and we say, I'm going to run the Christian race. I'm going to try real hard. And before long, sometimes within a day, sometimes within a week, we've stumbled and we've fallen into a sin. And so we come back to the next church service and we repent and we say, pray for me. I've committed this sin and I'm going to try harder. How effective is that going to be? I'm going to try harder. Now mind you, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to study my Bible or anything. I'm just going to try harder not to sin. Well, just like that fellow running the marathon who didn't train for it, we're going to fall right back into sin. Oh, we might make it a day longer or a couple days longer before we fall to sin again. But we're going to fall to it again pretty quickly because we haven't exercised ourselves to righteousness. Because we haven't trained ourselves. That's the thing that's missing. When we talk about being the worst sinner, the only way that we're really going to succeed at that goal is by training ourselves in righteousness. Being instructed. Exercising ourselves to godliness. That doesn't happen by sitting around watching TV. It doesn't happen sitting around gossiping on the phone. It doesn't happen laying around on the couch eating Bluebell. The only way that we're really going to get bad at sinning is if we work hard and exercise ourselves in these areas of godliness. That's what Paul told Timothy to do. He said, bodily exercise profits a little, But godliness. Oh, there's where the real profit is. That's what's really beneficial to us. Now, that doesn't mean that if we live godly lives, we're going to lose weight and our blood pressure is going to go down, or we're going to go from being diabetic to not being diabetic anymore. No, that's not what. But true benefit is spiritual benefit. And we can do it. But just saying, hey, I'm going to try harder, doesn't get it done. We've got to have a plan. Go back to this fellow with the marathon. Now, after that second marathon, and I only made it 3/4 mile, what if I then said, you know what? Next year, I'm going to run a marathon. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start eating right. I've got this program that tells me how far day, and build it up and go further and further as the days and the months go along, so that by the time next year when that marathon comes around again, I'll be in shape to run it. And if I follow that plan, then do you think I've got a good chance of finishing that marathon? Oh, I may not win. I mean, I wouldn't expect I was going to win the marathon. But do you think I could finish it if I followed the plan? Yeah, I could. People older than me have done it. I could do it if I followed the plan. The same thing is true spiritually. We need a plan. This idea of, well, I'll just try harder. And I remember when I played football, and when I wrestled as well, sometimes there was someone that I was going up against who was bigger and stronger and faster. And guess what? No matter how hard I tried, they beat me every time. The only way I'm going to have a chance with that person is if I train so that I get bigger and stronger and faster too, so that I can meet them on that level. Well, we've got to understand the devil is bigger and stronger and faster. And the only way we're going to be able to win against him and not fall to his trap is if we work at it. But there's the problem. We don't like work. We want a magic pill that's going to make us lose weight, or that's going to do this or do that. Just look. Health food stores everywhere with selling all sorts of vitamins. Doctors filling out prescriptions for all sorts of shots and pills and everything to make people feel better. We are all about pills and shots. The quick fix. But I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to the situation of the Christian race, there are no shortcuts, there are no quick fixes, and there is no easy button. There is only one way to be successful at becoming the worst sinners in the world, and that is to work at it. Diligently work at it. We can't do it. It is not beyond our ability. The question is it beyond your will? One of the saddest things in Scripture, I think, is when Jesus, as he's sitting on the hill outside Jerusalem, and he weeps over the city of Jerusalem. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that persecutest the prophets, how many times I would have gathered you as the hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. You wouldn't do it. So the real question isn't whether it can be done. It's not even whether you can do it, because you can. The only question remaining tonight is, will you? Or on the day of judgment, will you stand before God and He say to you, as Jesus did to Jerusalem, you would not? What's it going to be? Will you or won't you? We have to follow the training plan. We have to work. We have to not just try harder, but we have to try harder with additional knowledge and skills. If we try harder with additional knowledge and skills, we'll get further. We'll do better. And as we do better, that'll be an encouragement to us. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You can't win a race that you're not entered to run. If you're not a Christian, you need to enter the Christian race. Believing Jesus is the Son of God and repenting of your sins, you need to confess Him as the Christ and put Him on in baptism to wash your sins away. Rise to walk a new life with Him. If you're here tonight and you are a Christian, but perhaps you just say, well, I'm trying. I just like to quote Yoda from the old Star Wars movie. Do or do not. There is no try. Just do it. It's what Nike always said. Worked pretty well for them. Why can't it work for us? Just do it. Now, if you need some help knowing what to do, if you need some encouragement to do the things that you know to do, that's what we're here for. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ are all about. It's supposed to be helping each other get on that road. Help training, working together. You know, those who really want to win at those sporting events, they have personal trainers. And they pay thousands of dollars for those personal trainers. Good news! We can be each other's personal trainers. We can help each other to train for this ultimate race that we're running, the Christian race. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.